Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Did you have a nice Independence Day? I hope you still have some ribs in the fridge and maybe some red, white, and blue paper napkins to wipe your lips with as you chew while listening to this. And you know what? You might as well chew on this too. Today, I'm defending Father Michael Flager, who wants to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway in a show of civil disobedience over Chicago's inability to stop the street gang killings. Yeah, that's right. Defending him. And Donald Trump's Supreme Court pick. And the question Democrats are sure to ask, have you now or have you ever been a Christian? And there's a new segment regarding the news of the day. I've decided to call it Mootsa or Not. So start chewing. I'm out on the deck looking out over my tomato garden. The birds are singing. The air conditioning is humming. I'm mild-mannered, syndicated Chicago Tribune columnist John Cass, a lonely conservative floating precariously on a sugar cookie in a sea of liberal milk. And this is the Chicago way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Keep chewing, everybody. I hope those refrigerated ribs and chicken taste good today. One thing. We got some breaking news. The Chicago Way podcast that I do here with my friend Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, it's growing. Yeah, the podcast is growing, even here behind the iron blue curtain of Chicago. But we need your help. No, I'm not asking for your money. That's beneath me. I'm not going to ask you for money. This podcast is free. But here's what I'd like, and here's what I need. I need you to find us on iTunes or anywhere free podcasts abound. And I want you to subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe for free. There's no paywall. You just subscribe and there you go and you listen to the wisdom of the Chicago way. Make sure to tell your friends and don't get too angry at me today for this first item. They call it counterintuitive, but I just call it fairness, defending Father Michael Flager. All week, Pastor Michael Flager, pastor of the St. Sabina's Roman Catholic Church on the South Side, has been ripped by conservatives, by city officials, by law and order types, and by everyone else for his plans to shut down the Dan Ryan Expressway at 79th Street on Saturday. The idea is civil disobedience to protest all the killings and all the shootings and the city's failed response. I talked to him the other day, and he told me that a Caucasian woman called him. He said, Caucasian woman. He meant white lady. But he said, this Caucasian woman called me, and she was very upset. She's going to have to drive down State Street and take that State Street detour on Saturday. And she's very afraid, Father Flager said. She's afraid of driving down State Street. And Father Flager said this, welcome to the club, madam. Welcome to the club. We're inconvenienced every day here on the South Side and on the West Side, too. Children are shot off porches, shot in parks, shot walking their baby sisters. Every day you look in the paper and there's another child being shot down in the gang wars. So if you're inconvenienced, he said, think of all of us. And I started thinking, too. It's one thing to say you're sorry and say you're sorry with prayers and then move on. But those families don't move on. Those families hear Rahm Emanuel in City Hall say for years, oh, we have enough cops. Oh, we don't need any more cops. Oh, we got it under control. Violence is going down. Violence might be going down from the record levels it hit last year, but that isn't really a drop that a parent cares about, because those kids are getting shot every day, and they have no answers. So Father Flager is taking it up a notch, he says. And here's another thing. If this was a protest to shut down the Ryan in anger over President Trump, do you think City Hall would be opposed? Rahm Emanuel would be dancing out there himself, holding signs saying, no, Dan Ryan today, arrest me, Governor Rauner. But he's not doing that, is he? Because it's not about Trump. This is a civil disobedience directed at City Hall and the mayor over the handling of crime. Now, for those of you who say Father Flager is a publicity hound, I want you to think of this. A few years ago, when all the left and the TV cameras and the social justice warriors and those white boys from Antifa in their masks and others were burning and protesting down in Ferguson, Missouri over Michael Brown. Remember him? The left made him a hero. President Obama stoked that one. And so did Eric Holder, his wingman, his attorney general. And the fires burned and people's livelihoods were destroyed. And there was a lot of protesting. It turned out Michael Brown was not a hero. He was a thug who attacked a police officer after robbing a store, and he was shot. And despite a federal grand jury and all the efforts of the White House, the police officer was not indicted. His life was ruined, of course, but he wasn't indicted. He wasn't held out there like a sacrifice for politics. But while that was going on, something else happened in Chicago on the South Side, 71st and Woodlawn. A little boy named Antonio Smith. He was 9 years old, and he was out in his backyard. He'd seen a gang coming by trying to shoot some other teenagers. And he's a 9-year-old kid, and he just shouted, "Watch out," or something like that. And the intended victims ran, and the gang, late teens, 20, older than 20, they chased this little boy down, Antonio Smith. They chased him down into his backyard, and they murdered him. They shot him dead. Now, I didn't see Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson out on 71st and Woodlawn. I didn't see Obama or Holder talking about 71st and Woodlawn. I didn't see the white anarchists, you know, the college boys with their gifok masks, talking about Antonio Smith. They kept their mouths shut. There was one guy who stood up. You know what his name was? Michael Flager. This 9-year-old boy, in my mind, when you get multiple shots for a 9-year-old in a back alley, that's an execution, Flager told me for a column after Antonio Smith was killed. We cannot simply be outraged about something that happened someplace else, meaning Ferguson, and become immune to what happens at home. That business of social justice warrior for media purposes, he said, while ignoring the 9-year-old being murdered in his own backyard. Quote, this is pure evil. We have to be absolutely outraged. And we have to say, we're going to find out who you are, and we're going to turn you in, because you're not going to get away with this. You can't kill a 9-year-old kid and go home and eat McDonald's and watch TV. That's Father Mike Flager of St. Sabina's Church. He stood up. Yeah, does he do some crazy things? Does he seek publicity sometimes? Yeah. Is anyone perfect? No, he'd be the first to tell you. But on this, drawing attention to something that Chicago does not want to deal with, and the City Hall does not want to deal with, and the mayor of Chicago, who's responsible, doesn't want to deal with. Children are being shot. City Hall is doing nothing. And Michael Flager is directing that attention where Rom doesn't want it to go. So pay attention to the coverage of this. See who covers what and where Rom fits in. Because if he's not prominent, then I've got to think that whoever's writing that story or talking about it either is clueless or willful. He can talk about Governor Rauner and Flager wants Rauner and Emanuel and other mayoral candidates to get behind something and talk about development and jobs and all that. But what this really is Mike Flager directing attention to Rom and City Hall. And we'll see how it's covered and who says what and how it's couched. Because that is the Chicago way, too. Subject 2. Amy Coney Barrett. That's right. Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. A mother of 7. A Roman Catholic. A judge on the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. All that doesn't matter. What matters is that she's an originalist. She believes that the Constitution should be applied as written, not a living document. And why is that important? I can't get it through the heads of the left. Maybe they're too thick-headed or stubborn, but they just don't get it. It's important because everything that comes out of their mouth besides rage and hatred and fear, while they're ignoring the fact that Harry Reid started all this by pushing a nuclear option when Barack Obama was president, almost everything you read, or a lot of what you read, involves anger and frenzy of the left, the pundits, the editorials even, and even in the narrative of what are supposed to be neutral news stories. You keep hearing the same message. Donald Trump is a fascist. Donald Trump is Hitler. Donald Trump, the new fascism, the new Hitler, the new anger. Okay. Is Donald Trump my cup of tea party? No. Rand Paul was. But I don't believe that Trump is a fascist or Hitler. But let's say it was true. Let's say it's true. Let's say the left's paranoid delusions are true. And he's a Hitler, let's say, or a fascist. We know he's a loudmouth, but a loudmouth like Trump or a silky like Barack Obama, I'll let you decide what's worse. But there's one way to protect us from a fascist imperial president. And that's the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution was written expressly for the purpose of making sure that not one side or the other or government would get more power than it deserved. It was supposed to be inefficient for reason, to protect our individual liberties against those who would take it. The founders understood. And the way to protect our liberty and to protect against demagoguery is to have a constitution understood by the people. By the people, not just by the elites. As a document that was originally written with a specific intent. It's not about what I want or what you want. That's the rule of the mob. So if more people agree with me and fewer people agree with you, my side should push their agenda or your side should push their agenda and get it through against the Constitution? I don't think so. The left talks about the Constitution as a living document, and that's really dangerous because it gives you what you want at the time, but then it sets up a circumstance that when you're not in the majority, your rights are violated. And that's not a good thing for the Republic. What I want is the Constitution. And I want justices to ask, what does the Constitution say? Not what I say or what you say. And that brings me to Amy Coney Barrett. You know, about last year, she was up before the Senate. And Senator Dianne Feinstein and Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois did something that was truly outrageous. They asked her about her religion. And they might as well have asked her, Madam, are you now or have you ever been a Catholic, a Christian? They sounded like some kind of cheap sci-fi futuristic inquisition of socialists. Do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic? Said Durbin. And what did Feinstein say? Feinstein asked her about her dogma. When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you, said Feinstein. And that's of concern. The dogma lives loudly within you? That's a political witch hunt cloaked in soft voices and the weight of federal power. President of Notre Dame, Reverend John Jenkins, said at the time, it's chilling to hear from a U.S. senator that this might now disqualify someone from service as a federal judge. I ask you and your colleagues to respect those in whom dogma lives loudly, he said, which is a condition of that we all call faith. For the attempt to live such faith while one upholds the law should command respect, not evoke concern. The attacks on Amy Coney Barrett only make her, in my mind, the best candidate. Are the optics good? Mother of seven, attractive, well-spoken, well-reasoned, constitutionalist, originalist judge? Yes, of course they are. A lot of this has to do with TV. And who looks good on TV and who looks reasonable and who you could identify with. I don't know many women in Chicago who have seven kids, but I know that many in Chicago are Irish Catholic. And the idea that Democrats would turn and ask a judge about a religion and whether she was dogmatic is repulsive to the extreme. It is frightening. It is the kind of thing, it's the mustard seed of fascism. Chicago is a Catholic town. Chicago is a Democratic town in which parishes help form the backbone of the Democratic machine. I know that the numbers of churchgoers across America is dwindling, including Catholics, but there are many who stay true to their faith. And what Feinstein, Durbin, and others seized on was Barrett's faith. And they mocked her for it. And you know what she said to them at the time in the Senate hearing? If you're asking me whether I'm a faithful Catholic, I am. Although I would stress that my own personal church affiliation or my religious belief would not bear on the discharge of my duties as a judge. And that's how it should be. We are people who can have faith or not have faith. That's not the issue here. The only issue is this. The left wants activist judges to bend and warp and shape the Constitution to their political will. But the problem is that once you allow that to happen, then if the politics of the nation twist and flip, then you're going to have the right bending and shaping the Constitution to their will. And we don't need that. Not now. We haven't needed it ever. You want to change policy? Do you want to change the law? Here's what you do. You organize with your friends. You stop, I don't know, what, you want to stop traffic on the Dan Ryan? You want to elect socialist members of Congress? The Democrats are doing that now. You convince people that your ideas are right, and you take it to the polls, and you elect people that will do what you want them to do to represent your will, whether it's right or whether it's left or whether it's centrist. And then you work on legislation to achieve the policy goals you want. Legislation, debate, discussion, voting in Congress, Senate, and the House, and finally, the pen of the president. That's how it's done. So if the social justice warriors out there want that, go ahead. Go at it. But they haven't been able to get what they want through the legislative process. So they've gone to the courts, and then in so doing, they've made the Supreme Court far too powerful than it should be. It should be three co-equal, separate branches of government, not God's ruling from on high. If you want to change things through legislation. Then take the legislation, and it'll go before the courts, and judges will determine whether it's constitutional or not. And we'll have rulings. That's what you do in a republic. That's how you stay free. And I think, for that reason alone, Amy Coney Barrett is the best choice. Because it's not about the religion. It's about the document, the Constitution of the United States. Oh, and one more thing on this. Now that the left is pulling its hair out and screaming about, oh, abortion is going to be done and fascism rules the land and everything is terrible. Remember this. Who unleashed the nuclear option? It wasn't the Republicans. It was Harry Reid. And because of him, Neil Gorsuch was elevated to the Supreme Court because in 2013, Harry Reid blew up the Senate. He abolished the filibuster. He was the Democratic majority leader, abolishing the filibuster for the Senate on judges. Went to a majority instead. He congratulated himself, and Obama loved it and smiled and said, elections have consequences. Remember that? So for all those people pulling their hair out and screaming and crying and filling up my teacup with their tears, remember this. Harry Reid and Obama, they're the reasons why this is happening. And me, personally, I love it. Okay, now this new segment, Mutza or Not. The last time I checked, it's July. And July means I'm sitting out here on the deck, sweating through my bleeping shirt. But what do I hear? What do I see? On Facebook, on social media, elsewhere, people are emailing me and asking me to rule on what the hell people are doing by putting lawn chairs out to mark their spots for fireworks, for parades. They put them out like hours and hours before, days before the event. They mark their spots. They call it dibs. First of all, this is not dibs. I am Judge Dibs. Everybody knows this. And I have the Dibstitution, the sacred document, leather bound. It's got hinges on it. It's written in sort of like on sheepskin with monks worked diligently for decades inscribing it to make it look beautiful. And the Dibstitution is clear on this point. Dibs is about snow. You cannot have dibs when there's no snow. You can't put dibs on your parking space in Chinatown if you're a wise guy in July. and you can't put your lawn chair out on the parkway in Evanston or at the country club or wherever in July. It's not dibs. Lawn chairs may be placed on the parkway along Central Street beginning at 1 a.m. Sunday, July 1st. Chairs and blankets are not permitted on sidewalks or right-of-way, said the city of Evanston. Come on, Evanston. No dibs. What if people are going to get up at what, get out there at 1 o'clock in the morning and mark their territory? What's next? Using biological material to mark their territory? Are we all dogs? Are we barbarians? Stop it, Evanston. No dibs. And anyone who thinks they could put a dibs on green grass in the summer, the answer is this. Mutza. Nah! Another one. A man's been accused of threatening to chop U.S. Senator Rand Paul and his family with an axe. This is not the first time Paul has been assaulted and threatened. More than a year ago, he was on that baseball diamond when the Bernie Sanders supporter with a gun, James Hodgkinson, the angry man of the left, opened fire and shot several congressmen and staffers and really shot Representative Steve Scalise from Louisiana. Paul was unscathed, but then a few months ago, he got the crap beat out of him by a neighbor who I think was also a member of the angry, unhinged left. And now this. There's been an arrest in the case. Paul mentioned the arrest, saying, Capitol Police have issued an arrest warrant for a man who threatened to kill me and chop up my family with an axe. It's just horrendous that we have to deal with this. Okay, chopping up a congressman's family with an axe is not kosher. It's not even kosher to say it or to think it. Come on, people. But I'm not going to give this guy a mutza. He should go to jail. No mutza, just go to jail. Thanks for joining me on another edition of the Chicago Way. We'll be back at it in a couple days. Remember, find us on iTunes, write us a kick-ass review, subscribe, and tell your friends to subscribe. This podcast is growing. Conservatives are tired of sitting on a sea, on a thin little sliver of sugar cookie in a sea of liberal milk. We can't all join hands or that cookie's going to sink, but you can listen to the Chicago Way. For John Cass of the Chicago Tribune, Jeff Carlin of WGN Radio, thanks for listening, everybody.